Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. UFC's most notorious icon is stepping back into the octagon this Saturday. So be sure to check out DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, for a shot to turn $1 into $257. That's right. New users can bet $1 on McGregor to win by knockout in the first round. And if he does, you'll be cashing in $257. Bet a little, win a lot. It's that simple. All you have to do is download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and make sure to use code KSN when you sign up to turn $1 into $257 if McGregor wins by first-round knockout. That's code KSN for new players for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, joined by Bob Flounders and Andy Shea. Ross Tucker will be along shortly for Tucker's Tape and Ask Ross. Guys, let's start quarter number one with the news of the week. And before we get into James Franklin's press conference from earlier this week, I'll start with you, Andy. We had freshman quarterback Micah Bowens enter the transfer portal last week. It didn't get a whole lot of reaction from Penn State fans until, lo and behold, he ends up in Oklahoma Sooner. Did Penn State miss something here with Micah Bowens?
Yeah, I don't think so to a degree. Like, okay, there was no big reaction from Penn State fans because, you know, he's the number four quarterback, right? That's where he was in 2020. And being the number four quarterback, even though you're a true freshman, that's still tough. Like, that's looking a lot uphill, right? Like, you're seeing, like, wow, that's a long climb up that mountain. Oklahoma is one of those transfer U quarterback schools that is a transfer U quarterback, right? Jalen Hurts, you know.
Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. There you go. Thank you, Jimmy. I was just thinking Cleveland Browns quarterback. And so you think, well, he's going to quarterback you, transfer you. Well, they have a true freshman there that started last year. They've already got a transfer that I think is better than him looking at high school tape. And I don't know, maybe he thought third was better than fourth, but, and let's just say Oklahoma's closer to Las Vegas than State College. Maybe geography had something to do with it. But it, my take is that being number four and looking up at a mountain like that, sometimes that can overwhelm you.
Well, my take is, for those who don't know, I believe Oklahoma had some transfers. Spencer Rattler, the freshman, took the position this past year. They also have an incoming quarterback named Caleb Williams, who's very good. And the other quarterbacks left the program. So there are fewer guys to hurdle, but the hurdles are very large with those two quarterbacks in front of them. Bob, let's turn to James Franklin's press conferences. And he met the media on Monday, which was the first time he answered questions since the change at offensive coordinator. What did we learn in that press conference about the change from Kirk Ciarca to Yurcich?
Yeah, so you guys, I'm sure you guys have your impressions. Mine, I had a couple. James Franklin, it's pretty clear that James Franklin is a huge fan of Mike Yurcich. And Greg Pickle had said this to me a couple of weeks ago. Greg Pickle of the Keystone Sports Network, who we all listen to as well. Now I agree with him after listening to James. I think that James had Yurcich high on one of those lists of his for a while. We talk about James is famous for his coaching lists, and if he ever has a chance to add a coach or there's an opening or he needs to make a change, he's got these lists. I think Yurcich is right at the top of his list for OCs, and he talked about why. James wants to get back to 2017. It's clear to me. You look at that Penn State team. Yes, they had some great athletes. They scored over 40 points a game. They were entertaining to watch. Big plays galore. They did lose two games, but they lost two heartbreaking games. They were in both of those games. They won the Fiesta Bowl. Very talented team. They were not fun to watch on offense in 2018. Really, for long stretches of 2019 and definitely in 2020. And I just think that James, the marriage between James and Kirk Shiraka and his version of what Penn State offense was going to be, it just didn't – I don't think James liked it. And you could look, you can start with the first game, guys. That game went into overtime, and it was 36-35. But for a long stretch of that game, Penn State really struggled to move the ball. They scored late. They should have won it in regulation, but that really wasn't a 36-35 game. They struggled all year to score points. They were very predictable, and they were boring on offense. They didn't have Noah Cain, but it was really painful to watch this offense, especially in the red zone, even in their wins. They struggled to score points. I think James had seen enough from a very early stage of the season. He knew the fans didn't want to watch the offense. I think he knew recruits didn't want to play in the offense. He struck to get a coordinator he trusts that at the very least they're going to try and score a lot of points. They're going to be diverse. That's what I learned. I think James was right to pull the plug on Kirk the more I think about it. I don't know how much more creative this offense was going to be, and it was really painful to watch in 2020.
I understand that, Bob, and that was pretty obvious this year that it wasn't an entertaining offense to watch. But, Andy, what I find fascinating is – Franklin talked in terms of more explosive plays and fewer turnovers. And to me, what was interesting this past year was the first five games when they were losing, they turned the ball over a lot. The last four games when they won, they got very conservative. There were no explosive plays, but there were fewer turnovers and they were winning. So how do you, you know, justify this? We need to be more explosive when it seemed like the more conservative offense was what was effective to win games.
So a couple things. First of all, this after James's press conference is clear, Bob's right. This was more about Mike than Kirk, right? Kirk, he was able to make sort of reason / excuses to part with Kirk. And I'm not saying they're right or wrong. I do agree with the red zone offense was literally tragic. I mean, it was just so bad. It was like, wow, you have to kind of almost work at it to be that bad. And it was boring. But to go to your point, I think when you're trying to put, you know, a Band-Aid on something that requires a tourniquet, you have to go to the extreme. So, you know, to a degree, I think Kirk made this offense the only way it could look to give them at least a chance to win football games. That is what it took. They could not, A, get the ball downfield, and B, they couldn't trust the quarterback to get the ball downfield effectively. That's an inherent huge problem. So they had to sort of take that out of his hands and figure out a way to win the games. And I think he did a good job adjusting in the season to do what you have to do to put a Band-Aid on something that required a tourniquet, which was an offense that was an absolute runaway train wreck, as Bob talked about. And he's right about the 36-35. And you could talk about, you know, the massive coaching, you know, fail on the clock and time management that game. But it was still smoke and mirrors of what Penn State was doing. And it was always kind of looked that way, even during the first five games. And you can't continue to do that. So I think this is still a bottom line. It's about Mike as more than it is about what Kirk did in 1 year.
Bob, the other big topic in the press conference was the transfer portal. And Franklin, again, as he had done previously, mentioned specifically the position defensive end and defensive back. But he was asked about a quarterback transfer, and all of a sudden we got the generic answer, we're always looking for help, looking to improve a position. And the funny thing is, I've since read articles from people where it's either been, oh, he's open to transfer quarterback, or it's, well, he never specifically named, you know, said that position. What was your interpretation? Are we going to see a transfer quarterback?
The one thing I believe that James did say was that if it's going to make the team better, I think it doesn't really matter if he hurts feelings. So if he finds a quarterback that can either A, compete, or B, win the quarterback job for 1 year, I think he would bring him in. I don't think he wants to rock the boat for a guy that's just going to add depth. I know they've had some turnover position at the quarterback position behind Sean Clifford and Will Levis the last couple of years, but I think that's almost natural to expect. There's always going to be disappointed young quarterbacks when they don't climb up the depth chart immediately. But I do believe James when he says he's looking at every position to get better. He needs to, because they were 4-5, so he should be doing that. But you know what? You know, most teams don't add quarterbacks. Most smart teams don't add quarterbacks, guys, unless those quarterbacks can legitimately come in and compete for the job. And I don't know. I'm not going to say it's a low bar, but I mean, I don't think it's a lock that those two guys are both going to play well for Penn State next year, Sean and Will. So if somebody is out there that's available that kind of fits what Penn State's looking for, I think James would absolutely bring him in, and I think he should bring him in.
Andy, when you and I were talking off the air about Micah Bowens leaving, which leaves Penn State with 4 scholarship quarterbacks, especially in this day and age when so many quarterbacks are entering the portal, do they need another quarterback just for depth in case somebody else leaves?
Yeah, I don't know what the right number is anymore. I mean, in the transfer portal age, is it 4? Is it 5? I don't have enough of a handle on it. It just feels like, well, you got 4 quarterbacks. That should – 4 scholarship quarterbacks that were recruited by your school, that should be enough, right? That is a number that should be adequate. But on the flip side, when you look at it now in this, you know, this early stages of the transfer portal age, you're like, well, maybe that's not enough. You know what I mean? Like, it's such a weird fine line. Like, do you need 5 quarterbacks? And who's the 5th quarterback that wants to be in that quarterback room? Not me. How about you, Bob? I don't want to be a 5th quarterback.
Well, the thing of it is, though, I don't think it's so much about you need 5 quarterbacks instead of 4. I think it's more a case of, oh, let's say you have a quarterback who's going to transfer out in the spring. And we've seen there's precedent.
Right.
We saw that happen with Tommy Stevens. Say that were to happen with Will Levis. Oops. You know, where do you go then? All right, guys, that is it for quarter number 1. Stick around in quarter number 2. We welcome in Ross Tucker for Tucker's Tape. Stay tuned.
UFC's most notorious icon is back. Check out DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC. New users can bet $1 on McGregor to win by knockout in the first round, and if he does, you'll be cashing in $257. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using code KSN. That's code KSN for limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.